Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Nicole, and I am here with Nat and Jamie. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Yay. That was like such a pretty chorus. anyway, today we're talking about reconnecting with your body, even when you feel betrayed and broken. And our special guest on the call on the episode today is Jamie Greenwood of JamieLiving.com. And she is the founder of JamieLiving.com. Like I said, she where badass women come for real talk and deep love to compassionately reconnect with themselves. And her passion is in coaching driven, creative, socially conscious women through the disconnect between who they truly are, who they're currently being, and how they want to live and love. And we're going to cover a couple of really awesome things today. We're going to talk about trusting and reconnecting with your body, embracing the unknown, which I think many of us have problems with, and what to do when you feel broken and betrayed by your body. Again, where a lot of women who are dealing with hormonal problems definitely have this issue. And finally, how PMS is actually a superpower. So let's get right into it. All right, Jamie, I feel like you're, like I was saying, your story is really deeply connected to trusting and reconnecting with your body and just and really learning to be okay with the unknown. And I would love for you to start there, perhaps.
Yes. I'll just say that you have to be careful kind of what you promise in terms of this stuff, or you know, my whole journey in my mind, I was like, and then I'll get there and it'll be over, and this journey with my body is always evolving. And so I kind of just want to like start with that, the story is ongoing, and every single day I have to come back to trust, and every single day I have to come back to love. It's nothing that I have yet been able to kind of pin down forever and always. So I think that knowing that is really important. My whole kind of story started, I always had kind of an irregular period and an irregular cycle, and it just never really decided to work on its own. So, of course, when I was 19, I was put on the pill, and I did that for a really, really, really long time until I got married and realized, you know, why am I taking this synthetic hormone? I don't even take aspirin. So I went off of the pill and didn't get my period for 3 years. And during that time, I didn't know what to do. I went to all the doctors. They told me everything was fine. All of my levels were checked. They even ran like a chromosomal test to make sure I was actually a woman. To like make sure, God. I was like, yeah, I'm
Whoa.
Pretty sure I am, but you know, let's just make sure. So,
oh my goodness, you
know, yeah, it was really wild, and I didn't know what was going on, but I knew that my body would figure it out. I just didn't know how. So I changed my diet, changed my exercise, changed everything, and still. Things weren't getting any better on the hormonal side and on the period side. I was also battling an autoimmune disease at the time, which was in a full-blown flare-up. So my body was freaking out on many, many levels. And my husband and I had been together for a while, and during this time, he really wanted to start having a family. And I remember saying, like, you know, obviously I don't have a period, so that's going to be a little hard. But, like, you know, my body is going to figure it out. And he was like, you just need to get it through your head that there's no way you're going to have kids without help. So, like, we need to start looking at drugs and at in vitro and things like that. And I just knew that my body would figure it out, but I didn't know how. Fast forward to about 8 months later after he and I had that conversation. And he went on a trip, and he came back, and he told me that our marriage was over. And 4 months later, my period came back full force.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had, like, the
Amazing.
Most gorgeous earth mama, you know, like proud woman period every month for the last 3 years. It was like, she just was like, you know, just no babies with that one. Just like, be, you know, we're figuring it out. And I have to say, I had no idea how long it was going to take for my body to regulate. I had no idea what was happening, but there was just this knowing inside of me that, like, if I keep on the path of just trying to explore and see what my body needs, she'll figure it out.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. There's a lot that so many women can actually take from that, because it's true. It's the, you know, and just that. I guess in hindsight, it's a beautiful story. At the time, there would have been other things going through your mind.
Well, so thank you, Nat. Yeah, there was a lot. And one of the things, you know, at the time, I was a health coach. I hadn't yet shifted into more life coaching. I was a health coach. And I just remember thinking, I am such a fraud. Here I am helping women feel better in and about their bodies and feed themselves well, and I'm dealing with an autoimmune disease, and I haven't had a period in 2 years. I'm a big, fat liar.
Totally. And I think so many women can relate to that. And I will say, too, it still reminds, this whole story reminds me so much of the whole adage that you can eat all the kale in the world, but if you're completely screwed up when it comes to your mental and emotional health, then of course that's going to have a massive impact on you, on your physical body.
Oh, yeah. I tell my clients that all the time. I'm like, kale is great. It can only do so much. You know? And then, you know,
and for some people, you know, it will actually do your undoing.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you're thyroid, you've got a thyroid problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Down away.
So true.
Yeah. Exactly.
And there's that.
Not too many cruciferous vegetables, right? Then there's that problem. But
funny.
But yeah, this idea that if we just fixate on one thing, it'll fix us.
Mm.
If I just fixate on my food, it'll fix me. If I just obsess about my exercise, I'll stay thin. If I just, you know, whatever it is that we lock onto, and the truth is that there are many, many avenues of healing and many ways in which we have to love and connect and feed ourselves. And it's not just physical.
Mm. There's no doubt. Mm. I think that we're so focused on that, though, because that's the stuff that we can control as women. We can control our diet. We can control our supplement regimens, and we control our exercise, but we can't control a whole lot of other things outside of ourselves, and that is too scary for us to even deal with.
Well, that is absolutely right on, and that's why we seek control, because if we aren't controlling our bodies, how do we know that we're okay? For sure. In a world that's just really crazy and topsy-turvy, how do we create a sense of safety? I know I'm safe when I take my fish oil. I know I'm safe when I, you know, take my vitamin D.
He's like, oh, I love that.
Yeah. Or when I count calories. I mean, it really is that way.
Yeah. It really is that way, and I get it. I was anorexic in high school. Like, I get it. I can name you the 1,500 different ways I tried to create control and safety in my life.
Mm.
It's so natural. It's so real. And the only way to move out of that is to begin to trust ourselves and know that we are resilient beyond a measure of a doubt. And no matter what, we're going to be okay.
Well, I think that's really
important.
How does that
work,
Jamie? No matter what, we are going to be okay. Yeah. But I want to know how, you know, you've obviously lived through this, and this is something that you can now live and breathe. But for a listener that is feeling really challenged by what you've got to say, you know, how do you trust yourself?
Exactly. That was going to be my question, too. I know. How do you start connecting with your body, right? Ooh, the magic question.
Well, I know. How do we even start? And it's so big, and I have to say that trust is not something, it's not an end goal. It's something that I find and I lose again, and then I find it and I lose again. It's something that, it's a bit of a moving target.
And Jamie, just when you think you've got it, you lose it again.
Yes.
No, then when you have that pain, you're like, oh, oh man, I've got it all going on, and then you wake up the next morning and the ass end falls out of your life.
No, that's exactly right. And I think that might be the most important thing about trust is knowing that it comes and it goes. And the second we think that we should always have it and we don't, we think that there's something wrong with us.
Mm.
So
totally. Yeah.
One of the ways that I cultivate trust, a very, you know, kind of hard and fast thing that I do, is I meditate every morning. And I meditate using some guided meditations through a woman. Do you guys know Tara Brach?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love Tara Brach's meditations. So I do her meditations in the morning. And I also do just a guided visual meditation with myself where I just imagine like gold light kind of filling me and then kind of becoming the roots of me, and like a tree, these golden roots dig down into the earth and wrap around the earth three times, which keeps me grounded and solid. So my leaves and my branches can continue to sway, but the ground of me and the rootedness of me keeps me strong and stable. And I know that that seems kind of woo-woo, but that's just by knowing that I'm solid in myself, in my body, allows me to trust myself more.
Mm. Yep. I think that, you know, as woo-woo as it is, though, you've ultimately found what truly works for you. And that's what I think the message is, right, is for all of us to find what works to bring us to that place of calm and stability, because that's all our bodies really want to feel. They want to feel fed and safe. So if you're they don't have either of those two things, then we're going to be in that chronic state of fight or flight. So I think it's so important for us to find what it is that we want, that we know will work for us.
Yeah. You know, and I would say that the second thing that I never thought that this would kind of be related to self-trust, but it is on the deepest level, is self-compassion and self-kindness. That when I can trust myself to be kind to myself, even in my most terrified moment, I can trust myself in other areas too.
Mm.
If I can be loyal to myself, you know, if I can be loyal to me when I'm scared or when my body's having a hard moment, then I know that I can be loyal to myself in other areas.
And then, you know, stepping into that vulnerability as well, right?
Yes. Yes. You know, and loyalty, for me, loyalty is, like, really simple. I mean, it can be as simple as, like, I'm having a scary moment, and I just, or I catch myself, like, you know, feeling anxious or worried about my health or whatever it is, and just literally placing a warm hand on my heart and taking a breath and just saying, it's okay, Jamie. I know that you're scared, and it's okay. I mean, often
I feel like
that's an
Go ahead, sorry. I was going to say, I feel like this is a coaching session. This is awesome.
So I want to know also, Jamie, that, I mean, not everyone wants to, or can, not everyone can, not everyone wants to recognize initially that they can meditate. So everyone can meditate, right? But not everybody feels that that's something that works for them, or there's a level of resistance around that. I'm wondering what you say to those people.
Well, one is that would be every single one of my clients. No one shows up to work with me and is pumped to meditate. Not a single person. And I wasn't excited to meditate either. When I realized that this was working for me, I was pissed. Because I was like, no, I have to do it. Because it works. But what I say to my clients who are resistant is first to ask, why? Why don't you want to meditate? And what I hear a lot of is, I don't have time and I have too many thoughts. Like I'm not doing it right. And there's this idea that I don't want to meditate unless I do it perfectly, and I don't do it perfectly, so I'm not going to meditate.
Or I don't have half an hour to sit there still.
Right.
You know what I mean? I say to patients, like, just start with 5 minutes. Like, just start. Do something.
I was
going to
say,
5 minutes, whatever.
5 minutes completely counts in my mind. And meditation doesn't have to be even putting on a guided meditation. It could be sitting still without looking at your phone or hearing any sort of alerts going off and just breathing. You know, can you just breathe in and out? Not even 5 minutes, three. Can you take 3 minutes just to feel the pulsing in your body? Can you take 3 minutes to feel the tingling in your hands and the rootedness in your feet? Can you take three minutes?
You'd still get people saying no, though, right?
I get people saying I tried and then I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't find. You know, I couldn't do it. And then we try other things. I don't believe that everyone has to do it my way. I believe that health and healing happens along all different kinds of paths. And if you can get yourself to have 3 minutes of silent time, wonderful. If not, we'll find something else. And a lot of the find something else starts with speaking kindly. They're like, even if someone can't sit still for 3 minutes, they're willing, while they're in traffic, instead of being upset that they're late and getting all frustrated, to have a moment of kindness with themselves. Like, mm-hmm. I know you're feeling frustrated, but, like, it's going to be okay.
I think that, you know, this idea. Yes, it is, right?
Okay.
It's constantly coming back to yourself, right? It's just constantly bringing that awareness back. Because we all sort of flip out and go a little crazy, and then we have to continually come back to ourselves. And we think that's really the ultimate goal with this. And, you know, when it comes into this whole concept of embracing the unknown, I'm curious about that, because when in your story you talked about, you know, your husband basically ending your marriage very unexpectedly, I'm sure that you faced a lot of those unknowns. Like, what was it that helped you, again, stay connected and grounded and not, like, completely lose your shit? Well, which, I mean, anyone who goes through a divorce loses their shit. But
yeah,
what helped you get through it?
Yeah, let's not. I lost my shit on multiple occasions. But, you know, when he, it's really interesting. When he said, I don't want to be married to you anymore, which is exactly what he said. I remember thinking, I have a choice. I can either choose to believe what he is saying, because when he says, I don't want to be married to you anymore, what he's saying is, I don't love you, you're unlovable, you're not worth being with. Or I can go the other way and choose myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what kept me, not from losing my shit, but from still holding on to a bit of light during the shit show, was remembering that I was choosing myself every single day. I'd wake up and I'd choose myself. And what does choosing myself look like? You know, it looked like, mm-hmm. you know, eating. It changed my eating. I mean, I was so restrictive and very dogmatic about what I used to eat, or what I was eating at that time. And choosing myself in terms of my food meant giving myself some freedom and giving myself some space and letting myself explore. Self-kindness came maybe a year after that. Choosing myself means being kind to myself. Choosing myself means letting myself have pleasure. And what does pleasure look like? Really,
just such excellent questions,
cultivating,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's cultivating that too. Like, you know, there would be days where you could totally throw yourself into choosing yourself, and there'd be other days where there was only this, like, little tiny glimmer of, I think I can choose myself, you know, and it's holding on to that and not kind of wavering, because you've lived enough of it to, you know, kind of go, I know that this works. Like, I know I can do this. I know this works. But I think that there comes that realization, that turning point where, you know, you kind of sit in your crap for a bit when something like that happens, and then you do have that realization that you do have a choice, and it's up to you and no one else, and no one else is going to come and save you from your pity party. We have to do that ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, when we first find choice, it's like, oh, amazing. And we have hope, and we're excited, and we're pumped, and we're like, I can take on the world. And then there are those moments where we completely lose our choice, and we're like, I have no choices here. I'm fucked. Like, there's like nothing I can do, especially when it comes to our health. If we're in the middle of a health crisis, it can feel like we have no choice at all.
There's no doubt. Oh, my goodness. Especially if there's, physical and emotional pain that you don't feel like you can get out of. Oh, my goodness. Totally.
Yeah. So is in any given challenging moment really asking yourself, what are you choosing? Is that, sort of, Jamie, what you would apply then and now, I guess, but especially then?
Yes. When I found myself in a difficult moment, I would just say, how could I choose myself? Mm-hmm. And in choosing myself, I would then choose to maybe not be, because normally I would like catch myself in a moment of like harassing myself in some way. And then when you ask, how can I choose myself? It always looks like, well, I would probably not be speaking to myself in this way. If I were choosing myself, I probably wouldn't be calling myself every single name in the book. What does choosing myself look like? I mean, I'll give you like another example. When I was in the middle of my divorce, though, there were some really difficult moments where I just really wanted to like let him have his way and give up and just be like, fine. But in choosing myself, I also had to stand up for myself and say things I had never, ever wanted to say and kind of speak my truth in a way I'd never wanted to speak because I was worried of the consequences. But choosing myself, and I think choosing ourselves also means choosing our voice and using it. Whether that means using our voice with our healthcare provider of like, that doesn't work for me. My body is feeling this way. I'm sensing this thing, in a meeting. I mean, it can be used anywhere.
That really can. And in any, I totally wholeheartedly believe you can choose. You have a choice in any given moment. It's, you know, just a matter of whether or not we want to play out the previous story that's always been playing or it's time to create something new.
Yeah.
I know. I love that. Yeah. I think that those are really good, applicable steps for people who are, really facing the unknown, like whether it's, ending a marriage or ending a friendship even, or changing jobs, or there's a health-related issue. I mean, all of these things are so applicable, and I think it's so important for women to really cultivate those skills because they sound so easy, but actually making them a habit, I think, is what is so challenging. And all you have to do is start with knowing that you have a choice and consciously making decisions rather than just sort of doing it blindly or unconsciously like you'd probably done previously.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't give ourselves a lot of space anymore. Space to kind of check in. Like, does this actually work for me? And letting go, this has like saved my life a million times, letting go of right and wrong. Particularly with my health. If I do this diet, I have to find the right diet that fixes me. I have to find the right supplementations, all of that stuff, versus I'm going to try this way, and if it doesn't work, it wasn't right or wrong. It was just one path, and where, I can choose another path.
And you'll still learn something by doing it anyway.
Exactly. Yes. Whatever path you choose, you're going to be learning something. Exactly.
Mm. This is such a huge problem in our society, though, because we are so terrified of being wrong now. And because of that, we are constantly playing to what everybody else thinks we should be doing in, with our lives, with our health, with our bodies. I mean, it's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
I think there's another layer to that too, Nicole. I think that the expectations that we have when we embark on something new or, you know, I think that they're unreal. I think we have unrealistic expectations way too often. I see that time and time again with patients in the clinic where, you know, we had a patient last mm-hmm. week who was really unhappy with her treatment. I was like, well, what happened? And she's like, well, I just expected more. And I was like, but if there's nothing else to do, then you can't just make something up because you're expecting more. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, she was on the right track. She was doing everything that she should be doing. She was coming to me because she wanted either validation of that, which I tried to give her, or she wanted the next thing or, you know, that was going to fix her. It's like, it's inside you. I can't, that's not what we're here to do. But the expectation that we have is way too high, and therefore we're constantly feeling like we're falling short.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, and this gets to the unknown, right? We don't like the unknown, so we set expectations or goals, and then we just try and reach it, reach those things no matter what. And then when we don't, we feel, we look for someone to blame, either ourselves or someone else.
Mm.
There's
so much blame. I know, right? There's so much self-blame, I think, that exists for young women because that's kind of the culture that we live in. There's like, you know, it's more like, yes, we can take personal responsibility, but I feel like so many of us are so hard on ourselves, especially, you know, when it comes to situations like this, like issues with food or our body image or weight or whatever it is, and our menstrual health. Like there's a whole host of things, but I do feel like that's a problem for so many young women.
Mm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think you're getting to such an important point, which is, you know, when we start on kind of the, let's say, like alternative health, spiritual path, there is a lot about like ownership. And I think it's so easy to flip that ownership into self-blame, where I did this to myself. I made myself sick. You know, I ruined my ovaries. Whatever we tell ourselves. It's like we take the ownership to a point of blame, which just compounds the problem.
It's hard to get online, isn't it? Because there has to be a recognition. You know, that's really confronting too, that if you've been doing something that hasn't been serving you, that it's not the right thing to do, then we can totally go into that, I did this to myself. But the whole point is, I did this unknowingly, now I know better, so let's do something different.
Right. Yeah. It's about awareness and then remembering, you know, I was doing the best I could. And now I'm going to continue. Exactly. I'm going to do the best I can.
Yeah.
Exactly. That totally brings me into PMS and how it is actually a superpower because, as we all know, working in the field of women's wellness and empowerment, that PMS and our menstrual cycles and just being a woman in general has a bit of a stigma attached to it. So I would love to chat about that.
Yeah, I think PMS is absolutely a superpower in that it gets us very close to our inner experience. We feel more deeply than we've ever felt probably all month. And we've been told that that's a bad thing. And yet I think that that's actually where our truth and our wisdom lies. And so having the PMS time, I find to be a wonderful gift to go in and look, to be introspective, to journal, to see what feels real, to reconnect with ourselves at during the month when we, for the rest of the month, don't ever stop, right? We're so go, go, go. We're always moving and doing. We're always denying what we feel and what we think and what we say. And when we're on our period or when we're PMSing, we can't hide from ourselves. We can't hide from ourselves. And that's why I think it's a superpower.
Yeah, that is a fact. I mean, it is such a great time for introspection and just really looking a little bit deeper. And I think that what women don't realize is that when we continue that going of the previous couple of weeks, that's when it's almost like a, you know, we hit a wall, and that's where PMS comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like
also,
a
the more that we resist it,
a symptom.
The more we resist it, the worse it is. You know, like when we can embrace it and see it for what it is, there's a reason that it's there.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Because not always,
I know.
You know? Yeah.
Mm. Exactly. It's so dependent on the type of month you've had. And I think that that's the thing, right? We view it as a curse, but it actually is, it is a superpower in that respect, in that it is showing you really clearly what is going on. And you just have to decide whether you're going to pay attention to what it's telling you. Because the signs and symptoms are all there.
What's going on, Delphine?
And I think letting yourself have your experience is incredibly important too. Instead of, you know, either telling yourself that you're wrong, telling yourself you shouldn't feel the way you feel, telling yourself to get over it.
Or you're crazy. Or allowing other people to tell you you're crazy.
Yeah.
I know. It's a serious issue for so many
people. If
someone
says you're crazy, you're like, cool, thank you. Rock the crazy.
I'm just gonna be crazy in my PMSing self.
Let's just
hang out over here in Crazy Town.
Yeah. I tell my boyfriend, I'm like, I'm moving into the feeling zone. I'm starting to have a lot of feelings. He's like, okay, it's enough. I'm like, they're gonna be coming at you fast and furious.
I just love how they have no understanding, so they're just like, okay, fine, it's fine,
okay,
never mind. I remember playing on it, like, in high school and early, like, you know, my early 20s, as my boss would be like, it's that time of the month, mate, and he'd be like, okay, fine, I'm like, yep, back off, mate.
Well, because, you know, I mean, and it makes sense, like, it's terrifying to men because they don't have that experience. And if we're being honest, it terrifies us. Having all of those feelings and emotions is actually really scary, which is why
we don't know what we're capable of.
Yeah, and I think that we buy into this idea that we are crazy versus it just being a natural experience, a time to go inward, and a time for noticing how you've treated yourself for the month previous.
Totally. And the fact that, again, I feel like we constantly have to be reminding women of the fact that our hormones ebb and flow. There are big rises and drops throughout the month. And estrogen and progesterone totally dictate how you're going to feel pretty much every week of your cycle. And the sooner that we have a clearer understanding of that, the easier that time of the month will be. Like you said, Nat, we're not going to be expecting to have, you know, wild, crazy energy and being able to work out every single day and meet friends and do all the things that we've been doing, you know, maybe 2 weeks ago. And instead, we need to sort of start to shift the perception of what that week before our period looks like. And once we start to do that, then, again, it's like you're just bringing awareness to what is actually going on. I mean, I have so many women say to me that they lash out at their boyfriends or their husbands, or they act really badly at work, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, and I always say, okay, well, like, what exactly is happening on a bit of a deeper level there? Like, what is it that you are not acknowledging that your body is basically forcing you to acknowledge right now in this time?
I think that is the most powerful question, and that's exactly what I mean. It's like your period is smart enough to kind of like give you the time of the month where you have to go there, where you have to be honest with yourself. And if you're not, then, as you know, you begin lashing out in the people, you know, you lash out against yourself and then against the people around you.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, often we do, I guess sometimes we brace ourselves for what's about to happen, or we kind of make it bigger than what it actually also is. And then there's some months that it just rocks on by and you're like, oh, hello, you know?
Right.
that there was,
for sure.
It's not always going to be something or an event. It might not be anything when you start to, you know, be able to work on yourself, in the, especially, you know, applying a lot of what you're saying as well.
Mm-hmm. That is a fact.
So, okay, well, I feel like we've gotten to the point now where we've pretty much covered anything. Jamie, do you have any last-minute thoughts, anything that you want to leave our listeners with?
I feel like we hit everyone pretty fast and furious.
I get that.
That's our style, girl.
Yeah, I feel like, we mowed it down. I would say that really that when I... what we're all seeking is a sense of presence and peace and connection with ourselves. And it starts, as I found it, with being incredibly gentle. So if there's anything to take away from this call, it is being incredibly gentle with your experience, gentle with your body, gentle with what you know about yourself, and seeing what grows from there.
Beautiful.
So beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah. Jamie, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us today and chat. I realised that you love dancing in front of your bedroom mirror, so we're going to let you get back to doing that.
Thank you.
But if for everybody that wants to find out more about Jamie, don't forget to head to jamieliving.com, and we'll be back next time with another episode of The Period Party. Thanks, Jamie.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jamie. Bye, ladies.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.